Howdy, folks. Welcome to yet another episode of Drink, Spin, Run, the tabletop RPG talk show podcast. I'm Adam Miskevich, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Mr. Don Stroud. Howdy, Don.
Hello, Adam.
And with us tonight are our guests, Stacy Dellerfano of Contessa and the Randomosity Zine. And what's the name of your blog, Stacy? I can't remember off the top of my head. Frivology. I can remember the other parts, not that part. And, of course, Mike Evans of the Hubris campaign setting for the DCC RPG. Howdy, Mike.
Hello.
So we want to thank you both for agreeing with us to be here. Stacy, it was thank you for being accommodating. Actually, we were accommodating, I guess, right, to work with you. we're really excited to have you on here. My wife, when she found out that we were having you on, she was like, oh, I want to be on, too. I was like, you never. Because she had never told me that she wanted to be on a podcast. And so I said, well, like, okay, I guess we can do that. She's like, no, now it's too late. I was like, oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So let me just jump in here and say it's nice to meet you both.
Likewise.
Because I've never met you both.
So that's what meeting means, Don. That's what meeting means, yeah.
Although I feel like, you know, I've watched some of the actual play things that Stacy has done, so it's like I'm watching one of those and being in it.
Oh man!
And my brain is melting.
Yeah, there you go.
I've watched the thing you did with Tim Callahan and you did another like podcast, like a video podcast with those guys.
Which one was that?
I can't remember. I know Tim Callahan was in it, and I feel really bad about not remembering this guy's name. We had breakfast with him at Gen Con. The guy.
Could be anybody.
I know. It was a good breakfast. I remember that. It was Alex Mayo. And I'm looking through Google Plus to see if I can sort out who it is. And I'm really sorry, guy who it is. We'll sort this out later.
It is.
Sorry, my apologies. We'll edit this crappy part out, right? Every time I say that, we leave it in.
Sometimes it's funny. Yeah, yeah. It shows our ineptitude.
The ineptitude is important. That's a very strong part of our charm.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and we'll get into the meat of the matter. And I'm going to ask Mike. Mike, what are you drinking?
Right now, this is number 5. I was just drinking a local brew, which was Irish Red from a brewery called Rock Brewery, R-O-C. I was just out with some friends having a couple pints, and I've since moved on to Magic Hat Single Chair. It's their new seasonal. So nice. It's a golden ale.
Yes, we know Magic Hat well.
Yeah. Is that east, out east?
Magic Hat? I live in Rochester, New York.
All right.
No, I am ass deep in snow right now.
Yeah, yeah. So are we in Michigan? Well, actually, ours is a icy crust still.
Yeah.
Ew.
But yeah, it's cool.
No, it's really not.
I love it. You can't live in Michigan and not love snow. It's just
that's true.
Yeah. You're in the wrong state.
Yeah.
Stacy, you're in California, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably not your thing at all.
No,
right?
I had to turn on the air conditioning today, actually.
Wow.
That would be very easy to do here. Just open the window.
Right?
Instant freeze.
Totally.
So, Stacy, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade. I am not a drinker. I had a really bad experience at Gen Con last year, and I swore that I wasn't going to drink again, at least until Gen Con this year. And, I decided tonight I needed some lubrication,
yeah.
So
I know you've got a new job starting really soon.
Yeah.
And that's weighing heavy on you. So absolutely, you totally need a drink.
I've had about 3 inches of it, and I'm already feeling it. So
I don't know if you guys listened to our podcast that we released this week, but we had Raphael Chandler on there, and he doesn't get much opportunity to drink either. And by the end of the episode that comes out next week, we were all way too rocked to have a real conversation. It was very bad.
I started listening to it. By the way, also, thank you for congratulating me on my promotion.
Indeed. Congratulations, actually, in order for both of you guys. Congratulations, Mike, on your promotion. Stacy, on the new job. That's awesome, guys. I know, mm-hmm. It feels like I'm stalking you for saying that.
it's totally cool. It makes me feel loved.
Well, isn't it weird, like, the stuff that you, like, learn about people you've never actually met, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just by being in the same, like, social circles online. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is.
New frontiers.
Indeed. So, Don, I'm going to ask you what you're drinking. Yeah. What are you drinking, man?
I am drinking, you know, somebody today, or was it yesterday, commented on one of our episodes, and Kevin Searle?
Yeah, Kevin Searle, yeah.
Searle, yeah. And he was talking about this Clown Shoes barley wine called mm-hmm. Crunkle Sam. So I'm like, dude, I have to get the barley wine. So Whole Foods had tons of it. So I'm drinking a Crunkle Sam by Clown Shoes. And it's 11%, as you can tell. Yeah.
Man, you and those clown shoes.
Yeah. What, like the chocolate sombrero?
Yeah, your chocolate. That just sounds so filthy.
It does.
Chocolate. It sounds like a maneuver.
It is,
it does. It does. Mm-hmm. You go from a dirty Sanchez to a chocolate sombrero.
You know about that, Don. He likes the chocolate sombrero.
I do like the chocolate sombrero. But what are you drinking, Adam?
It's so funny that we both have like a beverage that's like a shout out to somebody. So I don't know if you saw this, but on the episode that we posted on Thursday, Jared Shaw, the guy from Myth Horde, he posted that, hey, it's awesome that you guys have all these really cool Michigan beers. I can't get any of that here in North Carolina. And so I teased with the fact that I've got something from North Carolina for tonight, and that is Queen City Common, which is a dry cider from Red Clay Cider Works in Charlotte, North Carolina. These guys just opened up. Like as we record this, they might not actually have opened yet. It might be like the end of the month. Like, I think it might be like the 25th, but I happen to be friends with the guys who run it. Well, the guys who run the tap room there. And so they smuggled us up some stuff that I've been saving for an opportunity like this to enjoy online with you guys. And so this is I'm not a big cider guy, but this isn't too sweet. It's got just a right amount of like sprightliness. It's kind of champagne-y, you know, mm-hmm. With a little bit of sweetness. Don, it kind of reminds me of some of the mead that you make.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about cider, so let me talk about this thing I had. Because it was amazing. It was a bourbon barrel aged cider called BBC, and it's from Farmington Winery and Brewery, which is not far from us.
Man, that sounds awesome. Well, EDC?
BBC.
BBC.
Bourbon barrel cider.
From who? Where? Where was it?
Rochester.
Okay.
Winery and Brewery.
All right, I'm just got to write that down, man, because that's...
You know what? It's Farmington, not Rochester.
Yeah, I thought you said that first time. Okay.
I'm drinking barley wine.
That's dangerous stuff, man.
I know.
Were you drinking that earlier when you were taking pictures of yourself with it? Or was that just you being like, beer selfie?
That was me being a beer selfie. Okay. You know, I so rarely use the Google Plus, and I was like, you know what?
Whenever you do, you just take pictures of yourself? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm using it for Facebook. I'm Facebooking
no,
on
Google
Plus.
No, 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 it's pictures of you. It's not pictures of your cat.
It's true. It's true.
Hey, there's enough people on Google Plus that do that, too.
Yeah, I see Catterday on Google Plus. I don't see it on the Facebook. You know, I don't know.
So, I just love how role-playing nerds have moved it to, I'm going to try to incorporate a die in here and then make it acceptable.
Yeah. Or like those pictures of people's like kids with like the giant freaking dice. I'm just worried that that die is like going to go through like another child's face or something. Like those big D30s. Ooh. I'm just like, that looks dangerous, man. Like, I don't want to see what happens next. So, let us move on. Stacy, what are you spinning? I know I've seen some of it on Google Plus because thankfully have been posting videos every couple of days.
Yeah, all I've been listening to for the past couple of weeks is Riot Girl music.
That's awesome.
I've got lots of Sleater-Kinney, lots of Bikini Kill. It's just been kind of on a constant replay over and over and over again because it keeps me going.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
It is.
Kind of, you know, a little bit of nostalgia for the 90s there.
Yeah.
It's not in the bad way. Not in like the, you know, like, oh, the 90s were a better time. But man, there's some shit going on in the 90s.
Yeah.
Paying attention to.
Yeah. See, I lived in Washington State in the 90s. I grew up there. So, and I don't know how I missed that entire movement. But I mean, my family is friends with the Cobain family. My dad worked with Kurt Cobain's dad. So.
Wow.
Somehow that all missed me over, and then it wasn't until recently when I saw The Punk Singer on Netflix, and I was like, this is exactly what Contessa is, except for role-playing games, and I got totally
That's
hooked.
A really good documentary.
I loved it.
That is a really good documentary, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I knew we were going to have to bring it up at some point, so let's talk about Contessa, and let's talk about the Contessa Manifesto real briefly. We'll shanghai this conversation with the conversation of something that you're definitely here to talk about. Because I saw this and I thought, shit, yeah, she's absolutely right. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the manifesto and then we'll move on.
So I wrote the manifesto because after watching The Punk Singer, I saw about the Riot Girl manifesto. It was actually pinned on my board above me so that I could see it all the time.
Right.
And it goes through really what Contessa's goals are, which is that, you know, I want women to know that they can do these things themselves. We can create our own culture. We can do all of this stuff and we can get it out there. We don't have to wait for somebody to give us permission.
Right.
And the whole Riot Girl movement and everything that Kathleen Hanna says, if you just removed punk music and replaced it with role-playing games, you have exactly what I'm looking for.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah. I think everybody here will gladly agree with you on that front.
Yeah. I'll give you a fucking standing ovation if you want on that.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and it's fun, and it's, you know, putting that kind of spin on it helps out a lot, because there's a lot of different opinions, and they all kind of mingle and hit up heads against one another, and it's good to have a goal and a purpose.
Yeah, and I think stating it the way you've done also, like, helps more people be like, fuck yeah, instead of, like, I remember, I first started paying attention to Contessa and what was going on with that. I don't know if it was last year or was it the year, I don't know when you started, honestly, I'm kind of lost there. But I remember there were a bunch of people who were saying, like, oh, well, or a bunch of guys who were saying, oh, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that because I can't help because I'm a guy and blah, blah, blah. I was like, so what, dude? Like, what that doesn't, in what way does this impede you?
Right, exactly. I started at the end of 2012, and that's when I got probably the worst reactions to it. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people saying, you know, let's go start BroCon. People would be all pissed off if we wouldn't start BroCon. And I'm like going, that's every convention ever.
I know.
Good job. It's already done. But, you know, and it's just, my response is usually just, okay, fine, go ahead. It's not my fault if you're going to have a really bad reaction to that. That's
right.
Your fault. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't have to go. You don't have to attend at all. We're not going to die if you don't come and GM your game there. It's really not going to be the end of the world. And it's depressing to see how many guys, like, they made it about them instead of about the women, which is what it's supposed to be about.
And that's what a lot of guys do. I mean, speaking on behalf of white guys everywhere, that's a thing that white guys do. Every issue has to be about them or else it's not important, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
That's white male privilege right there.
I feel like
it's
all guys. I'm starting a Louis C.K. joke here because Louis C.K. doesn't joke on that. But, you know, like Stacey, I'm sorry. The thing I got to applaud you for is I have seen you handle all sorts of hate and negativity directed towards you with a lot of grace. and strength.
Thank you.
And that's fucking awesome. It really is.
Yeah, I'll definitely get behind that. Cheers on that one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You ought to see, I mean, the way that I'm reacting to things online and the way that what my husband gets to see of me.
Oh, we all know.
Yeah.
We do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a blogger. I get upset about some shit someone wrote, some dumb shit somebody said. I'm like, what the fuck? And my wife hears all of it. So she knows, like, the unfiltered. And everybody else gets this, like, sanitized.
Right.
It's not like I'm censoring myself or anything, but it's like, dude, me flipping out about this is not going to do anybody any good.
Right.
Except for maybe like a heart specialist when I have a heart attack. You know, that's going to be it. So
I do the same thing.
No sense. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, what do you drink? What are you spinning? Sorry, we already did the drink. What are you spinning?
Well, what am I spinning? It's kind of funny that last week I got to start to listen to your the podcast with Rap, and you mentioned you were going back to early ska and whatnot. I've been listening to a lot of Real Big Fish lately. I don't know why. Also Bouncing Souls and Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Lately, so my stress, like when my new job is slowly eating my soul and killing me. But that's, for a heart specialist, as you said. And so I've been listening to a lot of my roots, which is Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains lately. I've also been listening to a lot of King Crimson and Captain Beefcake.
Captain Beefheart, thank you very
Beefheart,
much.
Oh, Beefheart, that's it. Beefheart,
Captain
thank you.
Beefheart.
I like the other
and,
one
He's someone I've recently discovered, actually. And then
Captain
Beefcake
sounds like a bad wrestler.
Yeah.
Captain Beefcake. Like from South Park.
I think he was looking at me when he said that, right?
And then I always have Louis Armstrong spinning, like, constantly.
Awesome. Wow, we got really quiet there. Yeah, no, it's not that Louis Armstrong will kill a conversation. I think one of the weird things that we've noticed with this show is that there does tend to be like an undercurrent of a lot of folks listening to classical jazz stuff or like pop jazz. A little while ago, Noah Stevens and I really geeked out about Django Reinhardt at each other.
I love Django.
And of course, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's no reason not to love Django Reinhardt. It just makes sense.
Yeah. I love jazz. Actually, if you look on my wall, point the camera to it, there is a jazz poster right there. It's the Jazz Tree.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, I'm a big fan of New Orleans and old school jazz, so.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah? Yes, Don.
What are you spinning?
I'm so glad you asked me. Well,
good job.
Today, yeah, it is. Today, I was like, oh, I haven't really listened to anything new for the show, because I do like to bring in new stuff that I haven't talked about before, rather than just me saying the same thing all over the, but, of course you listen to different music all the time, but I realized there's a band I hadn't talked about here, which is a band called Barrows, and they're, not sure where they're from, but the album that I was listening to today is Imprecari Island. They're kind of this, like, ambient, or well, environmental math rock, kind of with a bit of metal in there. So if you kind of like the Red Sparrows or Rabbits, if you know those, or a Temple, but I think it's a two-piece, so just two guys making all this really cool not quite metal, but that got me listening to another two-piece that I am a big fan of, which is In the Company of Serpents, which is from Denver, Colorado. And they just had a new album come out in December called Merging in Light. And that's, again, a two-piece. So it's like a drummer and then, a singer, guitar player. I think he might play bass, but I'm not sure because I've never actually seen them, So, and they don't list instruments. They just play them. They just like say, hey, this guy makes loud sounds of this sort and he sings, but really solid albums from two really good bands that I had the opportunity to listen to today. Don, what are you spinning?
So I was rocking some PJ Harvey.
Oh, I love PJ Harvey, man.
because we were talking about the murder ballads, Nick Cave.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and she sings
great.
On
that's
some
my
of those.
Favorite album.
Yeah, yeah. So she sings on some of those, and I'm like, you know, I don't think I've listened to PJ Harvey since the 90s. And that's and that stuff's pretty good, although it does sound like it was made in the 90s. So
I don't know, man. There's some stuff there that's like really classic.
Well,
Rid
I mean,
of
it's
Me
classic.
Is just
it's
such
great.
A good album, you know?
Yeah, that's the one I was rocking.
Dry, I think, doesn't age as well as Rid of Me, yeah. though. Like, that one's just a little bit more, yes, this is clearly, you know, indie rock time 90s.
Yeah. And then my other answer, I just discovered today, I don't know how I missed this, because it's perfect for me. I was, you know, cruising through Spotify, hit Discover. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you like Barn Owl, you should check out Locrian. And that shit is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Tell me about it.
It's kind of this drone, black metal, ambient wash thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. I posted the video.
Awesome.
It's great.
That's actually why I got into In the Company of Serpents, because they started off before they were like, you know, doomier. Now they're more like doom metal-y. But before, that's what the last album, The Merging in the Light, is. But before that, they did this weird, like, black folk metal. Like, I mean, not black metal.
Right.
Like black folk, really, is what it's like. Yeah. It's like if so, like black metal artists wrote folk music, and it's really weird.
That sounds terrifying.
In the good way, Stacey. Like in that was a nightmare I really enjoyed kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
Like you ride the terror of the dream, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. For some reason, I can see Kelvin Green really liking that. For some reason.
They're a Chicago band, too.
Oh.
Which is interesting to me, I guess.
That's close enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would totally see those guys if they ever toured. I don't know.
Bear that in mind. Okay. I like your mug there, Doug. Don.
Doug.
I was thinking Doug lives in Chicago.
No.
We should tell Doug about Locrian. Yeah. And then you got a DCC mug. So where does my brain go? Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy I was gaming with last night. That's where it goes.
People call me Doug, so
no,
there
they
you go.
Don't. I'm sorry. So
no,
Harley, there's your drinks. Take them now.
Oh, that's right. He said a drinking game, didn't he?
Speaking of drinking, DSR drinking bingo.
DSR so. Bingo. I just learned this week that Founders DSR bingo.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Like the anyway. 30% of them has been sold to some Spanish company because they're always showing up this infographic of microbreweries that, you know, are owned by large companies. There's your DSR bingo. I'm still drinking Founders because it's amazing.
It is good.
And that brings us to, Mike, what are you reading?
Well, I am reading an Old West book currently. I like history a lot. It's more of like a bulleted, it goes by week and then month and then year. It gives you a real brief overview of everything. So I'm reading that, and then I am knee deep in regulations and guidelines for child care, and that pretty much consumes all my time right now. Just the West book, that is all I'm reading for fun. Oh, and then Strange Stars.
Oh,
by Trey Causey. Because he and I are planning on working on a version with Paul Wolf for Savage Worlds.
Oh, okay, cool. Did you also see that John Till is doing a Fate conversion of that?
Yep, there's a Fate conversion, and then there's also going to be a Stars Without Numbers version.
Oh, cool.
As well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So there'll be three different modalities for it to be
awesome
systems to be published on. Yeah.
So, Mike, what was the name of the book? Did you know the name of the book off the top of your head? And would you recommend it to another reader?
It's upstairs. I'll grab it later.
Okay.
But
it's cool. Whatever.
It's a book. I was like, you know, I don't know as much about the Old West as that I should. And I was drinking heavily, and I was like, I need to learn more about the Old West. And I, like, typed up on Amazon Old West books, and I found this book, and it was, like, $1, and I, like, purchased, and it's actually, like, a really good book, so.
Okay, so Drunk Serendipity. Got it.
Yep.
All right. So, Stacey, what are you reading?
Am I reading?
Are you reading anything?
I'm reading Red and Pleasant Island.
Nice. Finish that.
Yeah, I've been trying not to do too much because Tuesday Night Game, supposedly, Christopher Helton was running Red and Pleasant Land.
Christopher Helton was the other person on that podcast. Sorry. he was the other dude that... from Breakfast at Gen Con who wasn't Alex Mayo or Frank Mensah or Tim Cass.
Oh,
yes.
I totally forgot he said he went to that. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't want to read it, you know, as soon as I got it, but it's kind of hard not to. So we're kind of going through it slowly. I'm rereading parts of Lamentations of the Flying Princess and Swords of Wizardry. And nice. I don't think I'm reading anything other than gaming books. I think.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly reasonable. Don, what are you reading?
How about you tell me what you're reading and then
okay,
I'll
okay, I can do that. Because I finally finished King in Yellow.
Nice.
Nice.
And I'm not sure. I know Don's read it because Don and I have been talking about how it ends. And I don't want to ruin it for our gorgeous listeners. So we won't necessarily get into all of that. But it takes a turn about two-thirds of the way through, and it goes off in this tangent that you're not sure where it's going to go. And I got to say, I'm not entirely satisfied with where it went. And so since I've been on this really heavy, like, Appendix N reading kick, I decided I needed to, you know, kind of break away from that a little bit. And while I'm still making my way slowly through Andre Norton's Warlock of the Witch World, I also just recently started reading William S. Burroughs' Nova Express because I realized it had been way too long since I read any Burroughs. And that's like one of the two William S. Burroughs novels I've not read. Three. There's three. Because there's Nova Express, The Ticket That Exploded, and The Cat Inside are the only three things he's ever written that have been published that I haven't read. And I know Nova Express is supposed to be like this big, important thing, but I gotta say, so far, I've not been as impressed with it as I've been with some of his other writing. I've gotta say, my favorite thing by him so far that I've ever read is Cities of the Red Knight. And so this one just doesn't seem, or Nova Express just doesn't seem to push the same boundaries or, you know, tell as coherent of a story. And not that William S. Burroughs tells a coherent story, but, you know, like, make as coherent of points as Cities of the Red Knight, or even, you know, so many of his other things. So, Don, can I ask you now?
Yes, you may.
What are you reading?
So, I haven't been reading a lot. I've got a few books by my bed. I've been reading the 5e book still because my I'll wait till run for that. but I have been stuck in Swords Against Wizardry.
Swords Against Wizardry. Yeah.
The fourth Fafhrd and Grey Mouser book. I'm probably stuck because they go north in that one, and we're in the north, and I'm tired of snow, and I just nod off when
you're
I
not
going to
finish
up
that one till like June, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought you loved snow.
I said I love snow. I didn't
I do
say
love snow. I don't love the cold. Like, it's been really cold. Snow is great.
It got above 20 this week, man.
It did, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like
20.
That's
it was like 23.
It was beautiful.
23, and the sun was shining.
Yeah. I think on Tuesday it was even warmer. I think on Tuesday it was like 36 or something. And that was pretty impressive.
Really?
Snow started to melt. On the subject of weather and people's expectations of it, I enjoyed very much being a Michigander at GaryCon last year because it's March and it's Wisconsin. And for me, it was perfectly reasonable. It's what you'd expect out of March in Wisconsin. It's what I expect out of March in Michigan, but there were so many people who just not experienced that level of cold because they were coming from, you know, somewhere, anywhere in the West Coast, really. I mean, you know, it's not until you get to British Columbia that you get this kind of, you know, that kind of weather. But Job was there, and he was very much not used to that kind of cold. It was really funny. He kept going outside without a jacket, thinking, it's March, it'll be fine. Then he gets outside to smoke a cigarette. It's good times.
Hypothermia in 5 minutes flat.
It's not that bad. Come on.
6-7 minutes, maybe, not 5.
We Polish people, we're warm-blooded anyway, so, you know, we stay, we're designed for cold temperatures. That's what I got.
So they think it's sweet, they put their kids outside in the cold, like the babies sleep
that
outside.
Teaches them not to whine, really. I mean, you want to go to bed? Yeah, that's where you're going. You can't
deal with the
up.
Cold.
You're going outside. There's wolves out there. You can't. We're going through this pretty fast. We're getting good at this. Ask questions. I'm pouring a drink.
Hey, Stacy. What are you running?
I'm running Precious Dark right now, which is my game.
All right.
And I've been running, I run it for an all-female group on air on Saturday nights. And I'm developing it as I'm running it. So it's been fun. I've actually changed the system twice during the course of this campaign. We're only in episode 7. So that's been fun.
Cool. What kind of a rules base are you using there? I mean, is it all, you know, Stacy?
Yeah, I wrote my own system, and I've rewritten it like 3 times now so far.
That's almost enough, yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to get to where I want it to be, but it's an exploration game. It's really about the above world is all post-apocalyptic and destroyed, and you can't live there, so everybody's living underground in these cavern systems. And there's a renewable power source that they use called the Weird, and the Weird actually is sentient, so it interacts with them in all sorts of strange different ways. I like to describe it as creepy Saturday morning cartoons.
That's awesome.
Hmm. Excellent.
It tends to work out pretty well, and it's been a lot of fun, actually. I haven't gotten to play a good exploration game in a while. It's been cool walking these people through these huge prehistoric caves and coming up with diseases and talking Tyrannosaurus Rex skeletons.
You are talking my language. This,
yeah.
That's my kind of weird. Though.
So I missed it because my video dropped. Is this available for people, or is it just still your own private system? Have you released it?
I released an alpha version of it, but I've changed the system completely since then, and I actually need to rewrite it, which I was supposed to have the time to the last 2 weeks that I've been unemployed.
Oh, yeah.
But other things blew up that I needed to take care of immediately, so I've been doing all that.
And now you got this job putting a damper on your free time.
Yeah, right?
Who needs that?
You have to work.
So, Mike, what are you running?
Can you say that a little deeper for me? So
I know, I'm trying to sound like Don. I don't think I sound like Don enough. I should also do the Shatter voice more.
So, Mike, what are you running?
I'm not that bad.
Well, I'm actually not running anything at the moment, which I know tonight is our conversation topic, so I'll wait till that. But I did just get done running Hubris, the kind of like the final playtest stuff. And then I moved on to 5th edition to kind of take a break from that to give myself a little bit more of an objective view. And just to playtest 5th edition and see how it was. And I ran Hubris for a year and change, and then I ran 5th edition for 6 months almost.
And what are your thoughts coming out of that?
Of 5th edition?
Yeah, sure.
I really enjoy it. I'll be frank, I didn't enjoy 4th edition. It wasn't my cup of tea. I understand people who like it, so I'm not going to start like some weird flame war and be like, fuck all y'all for your fun. Because whatever makes you happy makes you happy. But I didn't like it. I liked 3rd edition a lot until I just got so burnt out with people being like, what's the rule for how high you can jump when you run for 35 feet? And I couldn't deal with that anymore. So I like that it's a little bit more rules light. I like the advantage and disadvantage system. I thought that was like the biggest, personally for me, the biggest boon for it. Instead of having to figure out modifiers and additions and subtractions, where it's like, okay, you're kicking ass in this, you have an advantage. Oh, you're sucking ass right now, you have a disadvantage. Done. Move on. So that was my biggest fun about it was with that. Well, excellent. Done, Wizards of the Coast. Well done.
And Hubris is, I mean, Hubris is still DCC, right? That's not making any changes.
That is
that
not
front,
fucking
right?
changing at all.
That's good. You know, I don't know if you know this, but we use the Metal Gods game uses at least one of your classes. I know we use the Mutant class, and I think somebody else might use. Did you do a Warforged?
Yeah, I did, but I called them Murder Machines.
Yeah,
so.
we changed it to, but it was a mispronunciation at the time. So he became Sibian the Whoreforged.
Okay.
And there was much there is a lot of confusion about his pole arm. And
well,
it was,
if he's a Sibian, then yes, I can see why.
So, what was fun is that he became a possession of another player character. Well, another player character, but both of those player characters are run by the same player.
Okay.
So it worked out nice, but so we use your what is it? What's the actual name?
Murder Machine.
Murder Machine. Yeah, we use your Murder Machine, but he uses something different.
Yay! That makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, and your mutant that Wayne Snyder runs has somehow survived over a year of incredibly crappy rolls because he has acid blood and a scorpion tail. And that's the only thing, any only advantages this guy has in the world.
You know, it's funny because when I did the rules and I did the mutant, one of my players is like, oh yeah, I'll roll a mutant. This is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna be a fuck. I'm a ghoul and this sucks. And he literally could not go out in the sun and to like fucking be healed. He had to eat corpses and he had ugly boils on him and. And he was the only character that survived. Like, everyone else got put through the meat grinder. And it forced him to play really, really smart. Everyone mocked him for having a crossbow. And he's like, fuck you. I'm not getting into that shit. Like, I'm going to stand in the back and I'm going to fire crossbow bolts. And then he used it to his advantage. Like, a player would die and fall down and we'd do the kick over the body result. No, I'm eating him.
He's dead. He was dead when I found him.
Yeah, he was dead. He's not alive. Like, dude, what do you do? He's like, nope. I get 1d4 hit points back every pound I eat. You weigh 20 pounds. Do the math. So yeah, like it's funny that he too got kind of dealt a bad hand. He made the most of it with that class.
So I do have to say right now, the player who's playing that Horrorforged character actually just chimed in on our questions app, and just to say here, so Gabriel Perez Gishardi, I'm sure, appreciates all your laughter.
Oh, nice.
It was a good time. I love that mutant class, man. You did such a good job on that.
Oh, thank you very much.
I love having that character in our game. So, Don, since you almost started talking about this in the last segment, why don't you tell us about what you're running tomorrow?
Yeah, that's tomorrow, finally. Yeah. I did talk about it on the last show, which just came out, but I'm starting this 5e campaign with Sean, his wife, his two teenage girls, my teenage son, my 10-year-old daughter, and my wife. So it's going to be like a big, old, weird teenage 5e game. And it's going to be fun. Like, all the parents are super excited. The kids seem excited.
I'm sure Brooke is, like, geeked about it.
She was giving me high fives today. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
I've met that lady once, and I am so excited by her. She's, like, she's got so much enthusiasm. She just recently got into gaming. And, Stacey, I was actually telling her about Contessa, and I was like, there's a whole convention. It's just ladies running stuff. And she's like, no way. When I met her, I think she'd gamed all of, like, four times.
Yeah.
And she's so fired up about it. She's like, I got to learn to DM. This will be awesome. I'm like, yes, you do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, you do.
That's awesome.
She was kind of like rolling her eyes, like she's, this is going to be horrible, but I'm doing it for Sean. And it's like 10 minutes in, she's like, oh my God, this is so great. We're going to rescue this dog.
That's killer.
Yeah, she is. And now she's in three campaigns over the course of like 2 months.
Seriously.
Wow. Yeah. You get her hooked.
Yeah.
So, This is a good time, though, to give a plug for something else that Stacey's involved in, which is the a game room of our own. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, a game room of our own. It's a community on Google Plus that we only allow women into it, or women identified persons. We are very transgender friendly and everything. And it's got 150 members in it now, and it's amazing the kind of conversations that go on there. It's like the only community I think that I've ever seen that actually gets used. I see every once in a while the other ones get used every once in a while. But, I mean, people actually come in here and they talk a lot, and they like it because it's what I say on it. It's because women should get to talk about gaming without dudes doing it all up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My wife has repeated several threads to me verbatim, you know, just like, you won't believe this, and then blah, 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 you know, like, because she was one of the people who got up on your OSR thread, because you did the one thread, like, in the public, and then one in the community, which makes perfect sense, because you're going to get totally different results no matter where you ask that question. And so, like, my wife, go figure, she's more of an OSR person. She's, like, she's so far anti-story game, like, further. Like, I'm not anti-story game at all. And she's like, no, this stuff is bad. You know?
Her and I are, like, kindred spirits. I saw her posting that stuff, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm not alone.
So that's actually the point at which she got really far. Because I've been telling her, it's like, you should follow Stacey. You should pay attention to the things she's got to say. Because, you know, you agree on so many things. And she's like, yeah, whatever, man. I don't got time for that. And now that you posted that group, now she's like, you're right. You were right all along. This Stacey girl, I didn't even listen to her. Which is cool, you know. My wife is one of those ladies. She's really creative. She's, you know, very high energy. She, you know, as long as she's interested. But the minute, like, deviates from her interest, she just, whatever, let's go do something else, you know. So she was kind of expecting... because a lot of, like, the conversation on G+, like, about gaming just gets into such minutia, you know, that she wasn't expecting things to really hold her interest. She actually tried to start her own, lady gamer thing, like, a year ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that didn't pan out so well, just because, you know, you gotta spread that mess, you gotta, you know, get it out there and blah, 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 and she didn't do that so well, you know, so, she was really happy that yours is out there. It's been... very positive for her. She likes having that, like you say, like a place to talk about this stuff that's not either an echo chamber or you know, a shooting gallery, you know.
It's interesting because, you know, the women in this community, we're split almost into two camps, just like the men who are feminists are split into two camps. But when we come together in this one community, and there's people in this community that I would never talk to, nobody listening to that. They are, but... no, I think about that. But, you know, but when I'm actually in that community and we're talking, it's a different experience because, I mean, I think without all the guys around, without the whole public Google Plus thing, where everybody's a little bit more themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not so on guard. We're not so, you know, we don't have to do that. Is that guy a jerk, a sexist, or just really socially awkward?
Or just doesn't have any idea what he's actually talking about. Or this guy is so ill-informed. Yeah.
It's hard to tell. So it's nice to actually be able to be someplace where you don't have to have those walls up and you have to worry about this.
Right. Good. Awesome. I know that from in our house, you know, it's been very much appreciated. So, props
that's
on that.
That's killer. We should get involved in some new things that we're doing. We're doing some pretty big things for Gen Con this year.
We would love to be at Gen Con this year, and we would be there, except for the fact that we're expecting our first child in July. Wow.
Congratulations!
Congrats!
And our kid is due like a week before Gen Con, so it's like not anywhere near feasible. So we're sad to skip it. There's so many cool people and so many folks that we're gonna miss this year. So Don's going for us.
Yeah.
Talk about poor representation. I mean,
I'm the cool, chill guy that just sits there quietly.
I am the loud, boisterous asshole who gets the cops called on everybody.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, you know, being loud and boisterous.
Yeah. Well, I think Adam. The only person who has to answer. Okay, yeah. You know, I'm not running anything that that listeners haven't heard of, but I do want to say that I recently got invited to a game that I'm very excited to be involved in, and it's the first edition Stormbringer game that Don is in with that with Brooke, the lady who got super hyper excited about gaming, and friend of the show Mark Donkers, and several other clowns who are tons of fun. But it's an awesome game. I'm really I've only played once, and like I'm excited for the next time we get to play.
Yeah.
Which is always a good feeling. Like sometimes you play with a group and you're like, all right, they were okay, you know, but these guys were a lot of fun. I had a good time with it, and I liked everybody's enthusiasm. So that's what gets me hooked on a game is players are into a game, the DM's into the game, you know, and we're all having a good time with it. So I'm not running anything new, but I'm playing in something new that I really enjoyed.
You know what you really want, though, are those jalapeno poppers.
Oh, God.
The three, they always make like 3 to 4 pounds of jalapeno poppers, and we're all just sitting there going like,
I didn't bring enough beer to drink to eat all of those, you know?
No, you didn't.
And I'm really glad that Brooke had those cream puffs, though. Those are delicious.
Oh, yeah. Brooke makes all kinds of crazy desserts. It's like a miniature potluck convention thing.
Yeah. But I do think that we have completed our goals here. We've accomplished the tasks that we've set out for ourselves at the beginning of this portion of the show, and I think we're about ready to sign off for the night. And folks who are guests will of course stay with us for the second half of our program in just a minute. Don, you have anything you want to add?
Thanks, guys. It was awesome meeting you and discussing these great topics.
All right. Well, thanks you both for being here. Mike, really sorry we missed you last time. Really glad to have you this time.
Yeah, me too.
And Stacy, of course, I've been so eager to have you on the show. It's just one of those things, like having not met you before, I didn't know how to... you know, how to like, hey, do you just want to be on this podcast, lady? I don't know. You know, so that's, I basically just had to bite that bullet and be like, do it. You just got to ask her, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, folks, thank you very much for joining us in the second half of this program. You will be joined again by Mike Evans and Stacy Dell'Orfano. We are going to talk about GM burnout, GM block, how to deal with it, how to know when it's coming, all of that stuff. It's tough. we're going to talk about that in the second half of our program. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Go ahead.